Please be seated. What words would you use to describe the condition of this woman? Doubly bent over, the text says, no core strength. A spirit of sickness that went from her head to her toes. Have you ever seen anyone like her? Well, I have. On the road in Haiti from Mathieu to Jajan along the river Momance, there for 10 years was a woman who had no use of her legs and she crawled with her elbows, I'm assuming 5 kilometers. I passed her 50 times. 5 times a year for 10 years. I once asked the priest as we maneuvered the truck around her, do we ever stop? He said, no, we do not stop. Why don't we stop? He said, because there's nothing to be done. I don't know where she lived. I don't know how she lived. I don't know her name. I don't know who she loved. I don't know who loved her. I wouldn't particularly bring her up, except Luke starts the whole thing off with a woman not unlike her. When she died, I had a little fantasy prayer that I wonder if the Lord left his throne and went to the gate and said, Madam, you are freed from what ails you. I like to think that. In the gospel this morning, there is a lucky lady. Jesus sees her. She doesn't say anything. He sees her, places his hands on her, and she straightens up right away, straight as a rod. But that's not the miracle. Or that's the half of the miracle, or the prelude to the real miracle, because the real miracle is what happens next. Kai edoxka ken ton theon, Luke says. She sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, ye creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The doxology is the miracle, and the whole congregation that sees it are dancing in the aisles with their own doxology, and the leader of the synagogue does not understand it because it is so difficult to understand. I have no possible explanation for why a woman created in God's image is forced to live her life that way. I can only think of Fantine and Victor Hugo. I dreamed a dream that my life would be so different from the hell I'm living. But life has killed the dream in me. I don't have any comprehension of how that works. Stephen Colbert has captivated the internet with an interview he has done with Anderson Cooper. Upon the occasion of Anderson Cooper losing his mother, Stephen Colbert, that marvelous comedian, lost his mother, his father, and 2 brothers in an airplane crash when he was 10. And he turned instinctively to comedy to find that he was, within his God-given gifts, an ability to just kid around. And he did it so that his mother might be buoyed in hope. And the rest is history. What he said to Anderson Cooper and what brought tears to Anderson Cooper's eyes was this question: how is it possible that we can learn to love a moment we wish had never happened? You see, he said, existence is a gift, and with existence comes suffering. And suffering is an invitation to love. Well, I think I figured out why that is. When you suffer, you become aware of another. When you become aware of another, you make contact. When you make contact, you understand. When you understand, you can love. So suffering is awareness, contact, understanding, and love. And therefore, we suffer in community. And by the way, it doesn't have to be painful. Some suffering is fun. It is. Many years ago, Bishop Allen went to a wedding. He was officiating at a wedding of a clergy person, and the clergyman's wife, wife-to-be, had her roommate sing at the offertory of the Eucharist as the bread and wine were presented a Barbara Streisand song, Evergreen. Love soft as an easy chair. Love fresh as the morning air. Love like a rose in the autumn snow. Our love will surely grow. Well, he had a fit about it. It wouldn't have bothered me that much, but he had a fit about it, and therefore he gathered all the clergy and said, now no solos in weddings. They're inappropriate. And number two, you have to use sacred music, and if you don't know what that is, go to the diocesan department of church music and liturgy, and they'll tell you. And it never bothered me until it did. And it did when I did an African-American wedding. I've never done an African-American wedding but once. She was owned a funeral home in Tucker, Georgia, and he was one of her undertakers, and they came to St. Bede's to be married, and it was wonderful. We decided all sorts of wonderful things. And she said to me, the only thing we really want to do is just a few things in the service. I said, that's great. What is it? Oh, she said, you're so helpful. I said, well, sure. We want to jump the broom. Well, I said, I don't know how that works, but yes, sure, you can jump the broom. And I've learned what it means is you grab a hold of your love and you jump into the future and push with a broom all the pain away. Not a bad deal. And then she said, how long will the service last? And I said, well, it depends. 20 minutes, 25 minutes at most. She said, good. I said, why is that? Because Richard wants a buckboard to come. It was in our family tradition, a mule and a buckboard, and that's how we're going to the reception. I said, that's great too. And she said, oh, and my Uncle Willie is going to sing the Lord's Prayer. Whoops. Well, I said, Uncle Willie can't do that. Why? I said, well, we don't do solos. Why? Well, they're not appropriate. That's ridiculous. Yeah, help me out here. God, help me out here. And this whole beautiful relationship was just going right now. I'm going like this, oh, Lord, help me. And I finally got anxious enough, and since I don't suffer, and since I'm not aware, and I don't make contact, and I don't understand, and I don't love, I said something I shouldn't have said, but it cleared the whole, it was like a bomb clearing the whole room. I said, look it, Uncle Willie's have ruined more church music than anything else in the world. And with that, her eyes were red with fire. And smoke came out of her ears, and she picked up her purse to leave. And I went, well, that went well. and the groom-to-be leaned over and he said, Father Porter, you don't know who Uncle Willie is, do you? And I said, no. And she went, William Warfield, Do you know that name? I said, I know William Warfield of the Chicago Lyric Opera and the husband of Leontine Price. I said, Uncle Willie? William Warfield is your Uncle Willie? Why didn't you say that? She said, I've been trying to. I said, well, then the answer is yes. He can sing a solo. He can do anything he wants. And so we did. As a little boy, I ran out into the parking lot when he came for the rehearsal. He wanted to come. And I opened up the door, and in he came, this gracious man. I said, Dr. Warfield, call me William. I said, William, welcome. And we did the rehearsal. He told us how to jump the broom. And then he said, Brother Porter, I'd like to sing the Lord's Prayer. May I just rehearse? Oh, yes. I said, oh, yes, sir. So he did. You know, for thine is the kingdom and the power. That one. And when it was over, of course, I also say, as I now regret, Dr. Warfield, would you be willing to sing a little of Old Man River? And I asked him that because I'm not aware, and I don't make connections, and I didn't understand, and I didn't love, because he did. There's a man called the Mississippi. He don't care if the world be troubled. He don't care if this man ain't free. I never heard the words. I never listened. Don't plant taters and don't plant cotton. Them that plants them is soon forgotten, but Old Man River, he just rolls along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. It's sung by a slave in Showboat as he's scrubbing the floors while white people dance around. And I asked William Warfield in a place of Eucharist, because I'm not aware, and I don't make contact, and I don't understand, and I don't love. And that's what that does to somebody. Don't look up, don't look down, don't you let the white man frown. Oh my God. Bend your knee, bow your head, pull that load until you're dead. Well, it was over, mercifully. Clap, clap, clap. And I went to the rehearsal dinner and found him. And I said, Dr. Warfield, I need to apologize to you. I had never heard the words of Old Man River, and I apologize profoundly for asking you to sing it. Brother Porter, no offense taken, because no offense was offered. It's a beautiful song, he said. I've sung it many times. Well, I said, it's a hard song to hear. Oh, no, it's a hard song to sing, because you sing it from your knees. And I've sung a lot of songs from my knees in my day. Tell me about coming to the South for concerts, Porgy and Bess, having to hide in the back of a car, sneak into someone's house because there's no hotel for him. I said, Dr. Warfield, you're the most gracious man I think I've ever met. You take care of Juliana now. That was the bride's name. You take care of her. Is it ever possible to give thanks for a moment you wish had never happened? Because if you are aware, and if you will make contact, and if you will understand, you can then love, and then you will sing your doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.